Well, it's probably the number one question that people bring up in their frustration about the multiple road construction projects going on at the same time. We love and hate road construction, right? We want the progress. We want the roads to be safe. We want the bridges to be safe. But we would like it to be done in about 10 minutes, if you can, or at least like not have all these projects going on at the same time. One of the potential solutions that people bring up is, why aren't we working around the clock? And there are good answers. Well, we'll see. You decide if you think they're good answers or not. Tim Werke is the CEO of Associated General Contractors of Minnesota, the Commercial Construction Trade Association. Tim is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thanks for being here, Tim.
Well, thank you, Jason. Thanks for having me. I'm appreciative of being able to be here and talk with you.
Well, I am so appreciative of all of your members who are out there working hard. And frankly, based on the way that so many people are driving today, you know, these women and men are putting their own safety on the line to try to make our roads safer. That is my number one reason why I think, gosh, I don't know if I want people working in the middle of the night. I worry about safety.
Yeah, so do we. It's a constant challenge, and it's had impacts in the industry, everything from trying to recruit and find people to work in this industry to physical safety and now mental health and dealing with chronic crisis in the industry, dealing with suicide in construction. But
yeah, and Tim, yeah, that's a part of this that I had never considered, and I'm really glad that you're talking about this, because I think today a lot of us have a better handle on how mental health impacts certain professions. And construction is not one that I necessarily would have thought of as having a higher suicide rate. But the Centers for Disease Control says it's about 75% higher than men in the general population. What do you think? That's very disturbing.
Well, it is. And, you know, there's so many angles to this, Jason. It's a cultural has roots in the culture of construction, you know, hardworking, hard charging men and women. But it also has factors that relate to, you know, how work is performed and the demands that are placed on these men and women that, as you mentioned here, put themselves in harm's way. And, you know, I always like to go down a list of things that are common in this industry and then finish by asking, does anyone want to sign up for a career in construction? And you can start with, you know, that it's, you're working out in the elements, whether it's cold weather, rainy weather, broiling hot weather. You're in a physical environment. It's a very physically demanding occupation. Travel is involved. You're away from your family for long periods of time. And it's seasonal. People in this market, where we can't necessarily perform road work all year round,
sure.
We ask folks to try to get the work done in 8 months, and then try to spread 12 months of pay over 8 months. And so there's lots of demands on men and women in the construction industry that result in stressors that manifest in mental health concerns. So.
Yeah. It makes sense when you think about it, just the demands mentally, emotionally, the financial demands, like you said, of trying to make a year's worth of pay in 8 months, all of those things adding up. But the numbers are astonishing, I think. And you when you look at the death rate, you have, you know, what, like five times the number of construction workers who are dying by suicide,
yeah,
as compared to a work-related injury or some sort of accident. And that is, you know, that's something we have to think about, I think, when we're saying, like, well, why can't they work around the clock? That is a factor.
And that's what we're trying to bring to attention here. And then we're also trying to work within our industry and in our partners, being the project owners, to try to find, can we do some things differently and still meet the public's expectation in terms of getting projects completed in timely manner and fashion. But what we're talking about wanting to do is exactly what you framed there, that, you know, we have changed the culture in construction from 60 to 80 years ago when a death in construction was just considered part of the job. It was a risky, high-risk environment, and men and women were killed in construction on a regular basis. And until finally we said, no, we can do some things in this industry differently. We can invest in physical safety and make men and women more safe so that they can go home to their families after a day's work. And what we're trying to do now is talk about mental health in that same way. How can we look at the industry differently from a mental health standpoint, and how can we invest? Are there things we can invest in that can bring about a more healthy environment that benefits everybody and starts to chip away at that crisis in suicide?
Tim Werke is the CEO of Associated General Contractors of Minnesota. We're talking about road construction, talking about different ways to get it done. And part of what I think about, Tim, is just the number of people working in construction. We see sort of a labor shortage in so many different industries in Minnesota right now. What is the status of the workforce, and what's the outlook for the future when it comes to construction?
Yeah, that is a really good question there, Jason. It is, we benefit in this market from one of the most highly skilled and highly productive workforces of anywhere in the country. But finding the next generation of workers is an important and also almost an insurmountable obstacle for us. Everyone is looking for people. All sectors of the economy are trying to find people to work for them. And construction is got a host of these challenges that I framed up previously that make it a difficult career choice for people. I mean, you think about precision manufacturing or retail or some of these other occupations where it's a predictable job. You got predictable hours. You get to go home at night. No one is presenting any kind of physical risk to you in the work, but in construction, those are daily stressors. And so it takes almost a unique person that wants to be involved in this industry in order to make a career out of that. And we spend a lot of time looking at that and putting yourself on the roadway day after day in harm's way. And now saying, and to address your issue about 24-hour-a-day work, who wants to go out on a roadway, you know, at 2 in the morning and put yourself at further risk when, you know, we know there are folks on the roadway at that time of the night that probably shouldn't be on the roadway, that bring a physical risk to the job, maybe by being under the influence, maybe by being sleep-deprived, all those kinds of things. And we also find, if you look at productivity studies, that working beyond that 10 to 12 hour continuous time period, your productivity falls off markedly, your attention to safety and the safety of others starts to fall off markedly. Certainly you can double shift work and bring in a whole new batch of folks to do that work beyond that 12 hour period. But yet at the same time, you know, it's shift work. Do people want to work in the night like that? It adds cost, it's a challenge of many. Yeah. In the construction sector.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you also have the fact that, you know, people live near these roads and bridges. And
oh, absolutely.
You know, people don't like the noise either. So you got to weigh that concern as part of this. I wonder sometimes, Tim, we got to witness a true marvel of construction work, of engineering, of rapid government engagement when we saw the 35W bridge rebuilt. And at the time, I wondered, man, I wonder if this is going to get people the wrong idea that all of these projects could be done this quickly.
Yeah.
And maybe they could be done more quickly if we were willing to just straight up shut down. You know, when the bridge was collapsed, you just had a shut down available to work in area. I suppose you would have to do that with every project. If you straight up close 394, maybe you could get it done fast, you know.
And that would be you know, there's so many different factors that weigh into that decision. What you've hit on, though, is probably the most efficient way to deliver a construction project is to shut it down and have it be unimpeded by having to accommodate traffic, because now you're not paying for temporary structures, temporary bypasses, all of those things that are invested costs that actually get torn out when the project is completed. But then beyond that, you have to balance and weigh the impact to businesses. And, you know, think of the hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses like an I-394 would be affected if you simply close down the job end to end. And then you have to have an alternative route
right.
that makes sense.
Right.
In my history in this industry of 30 plus years, I've seen that happen at one time where MnDOT closed Highway 36 in North St. Paul and had to work closely with the local businesses in the community, had to have an identifiable, functional alternate route, and then put the contractor at risk to say, get in there, get it done, and get out. We'll suffer the immediate pain of having that road closed for the amount of time it takes to get it done. But if you, contractor, don't complete it on time, then you start to pay these, what they call liquidated damages or penalties
right.
at the end of the project. But that doesn't lend itself to every project.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Nope, you got to think about the businesses around there. You got to think about the residents. It's a difficult scenario. I'm glad that you were able to take a little time to us. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Jason.